Take just a moment to say thank you, church, for allowing us to be here this week, and it's been such a blessing to us. Thank you for our church at Grant for their support I've had this week from you, and I think you just came to be sure I'm where they I said I'm. I appreciate that very much.
Amen.
And good to see a lot of folks that we hadn't had the opportunity to be in church with. Earl Kazee, oh, I promised you a song, didn't I?
Amen.
Huh?
You don't have to if you don't have to. Yeah, come on, Tom. I can't even walk.
Big break of promise.
I can't even walk.
You promise.
You got to help me explain it all. Yet, roll right there just to help me. That's all. Or anybody else that knows it. I'll sing this for Earl and... because, and I don't know how long it's been since I tried to sing this song, but it's called The Lighthouse.
Oh,
rest of you can close your ears. Earl, it won't matter. He's tone deaf anyway. So that's why he likes this song. It doesn't matter to him. But I don't know. It's been a long time since I've done this, so you pray for us. And girls, I need your help back there. I got to hear you loud.
And the light that shines.
pastor is not there in every congregation's dream, a sore throat. So just bear with me. I thought, as I saw all these children here tonight, and I praise God for that, I was thinking that, and probably what kept me from singing, because I was thinking about something else, as Clyde was the other night, you know. But I was thinking about how that several years ago I preached a revival in Athens, Ohio, First Baptist, and on the last night of the revival, they had all their youth there. They had an Awana program. They had a whole house full of young folks, and it was a night like it is tonight. I know we're having a fellowship afterward, but they were having homemade Sundays. And I'll never forget all those children sitting there, and God just poured out his blessings. We had a wonderful night that night, and people were getting saved, and so many folks were having to come to the altar and coming and getting saved, that the deacons had to come and help, the pastor had to come and help. And I kept noticing this one little fella sitting over here on my right. Real antsy, real excited. I knew something was going on with him. I just knew God had a hold of his heart. Next thing I know, he gets out of his seat, he comes down that aisle. So I turn my microphone off. I said, "Yes, son, what can I do for you?" And he says, "How many more songs are you going to sing? I'm going to go get my Sunday." Kids, hang in there with me. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. Amen. Stand with me one more time, if you would, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Thank you. You can be seated. I know I read that before half of you found it. But that's okay. You just have to trust me. You just have to believe it. That's what it says. Okay? Again, I appreciate this week of being here, and I know that God has a great work for you to do here at this church. He's not done with you yet. I love the song that says, "He's still working on me. He's still working on you. He's still working on the church." As Clyde says, that maybe tonight might be the last night of the revival, in a sense, a revival meeting, but revival needs to continue in your heart, in your life, every day. The revival, like I said, is not right here, but it's out there. Yeah. So you continue in that. But I thought about how that so often in our life, there's some things that we are never sure of. We're not sure of another day, are we, on this earth? We're not sure of, matter of fact, some men and I were talking yesterday at the doctor's office and talking about ARMCO and ASHNO and the CNO, how sure that we used to be. That when you got out of high school, that you were so sure you were going to get a job there. And that job was going to last you forever. But now we're not so sure of that, are we? We've seen a lot of changes made. So there's no surety, perhaps, in our employment. There's no surety in life of things that's going to happen here. But I want to report to you tonight, there are some things that you can be sure of in this life. Some things that you can count on. I thought about that, and I look at this reading of God's Word here, and I was reading not too long ago in an Amplified Bible just to see what it said about this. And here's what it said, this same scripture. It says this. It said, "I write this to you who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the name of the Son of God, and the peculiar services and blessings conferred by Him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life, yes, eternal life." Amen. I looked at that and thought, wow, what a fact that is, that said you may know for sure that you have eternal life.
Amen.
I was standing today preaching a funeral, and I told them, talking to them about the surety of God's love for them, how that they know that God loves them. But folks, I'm glad today that I know for sure that I'm saved, aren't you?
Amen.
I didn't have to ask the preacher when I came down that aisle. I didn't have to, I didn't ask him, "Am I saved now?" You know why? Because God let me know that, didn't he? By his Holy Spirit, he drew me to him, he spoke to my heart, and he saved me. So I know that for certain. And there's a lot of things we can't be sure of. We're not going to be sure if we're going to have another breath tomorrow. There's certainly uncertainty of life, the uncertainty of health, as I said, uncertainty of fortune and direction. So we have to do something, and we have to have something that we can rely on in this life. And so I think this is what the scripture is telling us here, that we not only have a something, but we have somebody that we can rely on.
Amen.
Okay? As I said a moment ago, God has a great work for this church to do, so you can rely on God to get it done. You can rely on him to say, Lord, you guide me, you lead me, and we will get it done. John is writing, as he's writing this epistle, he wants to make perfectly clear to those of us who are saved, make it perfectly clear that we have everlasting life. Something that goes on and on and on. And so the basis for this truth is found in four areas, and I want to make them as brief as I can, because I know that, you know, you mentioned food. I know that everybody's going to be hungry. We're going to have a mass exodus after a while. I understand that. But I think, first of all, there's something you can count on and you can be sure of, is the unchanging promises of God. God says, and matter of fact, we look at his word and God says, I'll never change. God said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God says that the place I, you know, where I send you, I'll be able to keep you. The promises of God that said, that promise of everlasting life is an important one. There are so many folks in this world today, and I think, as I asked the young man about his mother today, I knew her, but I really didn't know her. You know what I mean? I had an acquaintance with him, but I didn't know her condition of her soul. So I asked her son. I said, was she saved? He said, oh yeah. He said, probably every one of my family is saved in here today but one. And so often we hear that where they say, well, they're a good person, and I think they were. And a lot of times people, you can ask people, are you going to go to heaven? And a lot of people will say, well, I hope I can get there. Folks, I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt today that you can count on the Lord Jesus Christ of knowing that you're going to heaven.
Amen.
You can count on that because he said, I give unto you everlasting life. That I gave you a Greek word the other night. That Greek word was what? Baloney. Okay. But I'm going to give you another real Greek word tonight. And epongaleia. Epongaleia. And what that means is, it means a divine assurance of good. A divine assurance of good. And that's what we can count on, because you see, the one who made the promise of everlasting life to us is the one who created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
The one who brought it all together. The one who spoke it into existence. The one who made man in the garden, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I'm convinced today that the one who done all of that, that tells me you have everlasting life, I can count on that.
Amen.
I don't have it because of my good nature. I don't have it because I go to church. I don't have it because I'm good to my family. But I have everlasting life because I rely on Jesus Christ to give it to me. Oh, John 3:16, you know, great verse that all of us know, at least we should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm glad for that whosoever part.
Amen.
I'm glad it doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and whoever comes to him, Jesus said, you're the whosoever.
That's right.
Wow. It's not just a Mr. Goody Two Shoes. It is not just one. Then Jesus said, I didn't come. He said, I didn't come to those who are well and all these things. I didn't come for the righteous, but I came to call the sinners to repentance. So we look at that and realize, he said, for God so loved the world, he who believes in, he who trusts in, he who clings to, he who relies on Jesus Christ to get me to heaven, to give me life. The Bible also says that when we come to know Jesus, he said, you know you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And I know, get this, I know some of the people sitting next to you, it's kind of hard to love that. Yeah, you're right, but you'll get over it. You'll get over it if you love Jesus. You'll get over it. So we rely on him. And John chapter 6 and verse 37 says, get this, here's a great promise, that promise that he's made to us, that God made. He says this, he said that, my Father has those who are going to come to him through Jesus Christ. And he said, those who come to him, get this. I like this. I will no wise cast out. The promise that he made that said, the whosoever will come to me, no matter your condition, no matter how bad and how wicked you've been, when you come sincerely, sincerely, when the Holy Spirit draws you, the Bible said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. When conviction comes in, sets in, and you come to Jesus Christ, he won't say, I told you so. No. He said, you're here. I receive you. I accept you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the story of the prodigal son, don't you? Mm-hmm. I love it when that prodigal son comes down the road and had been through a lot of things. But yet the father standing there with open arms just waiting. Just waiting, and the son comes home and he said, Father, you know, he's mad, his mind made up. Father, I sinned against heaven and I'm in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant. Well, I tell you what, I got news for you. The father didn't make him a hired servant. He said when he saw him coming, he ran and he kissed him. He ran and kissed him. And he told his servants, he said, bring a ring for his hand. Bring shoes for his feet. Bring the best robe for him. This is my child who was dead, who is alive. He was lost, but now he's found.
Amen.
Right.
The promise that he made to you and I, the promise of everlasting life, the promise that he said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep know my voice and I know them. And when they come to me, he says like this, he said, I put them in my hand. Wow. Yes, I put them there.
Good part.
And he says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Wow. So this thing is, well, I hope I get there. I think I'm saved. Man, I'm glad I have a no-so salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad I have a no-so salvation. I'm glad that day that John Ivey was preaching in our Bible school, I'm sitting on the front row, and he gives an invitation, and tears streaming down my face. I couldn't hardly wait to get there. And that Sunday night, as my dad called all the young boys and girls up front that got saved by during Bible school, I'm standing there with the rest of them. We were lined up across this thing, and I don't understand why. But nobody else was crying, but I was there in tears. I was there in tears because I knew something had happened to me. There was a change in my life as a little boy, and I'm glad that he's kept me all through these years.
Amen.
He promised me eternal life. He said, you'll live forever and ever and ever. And I know some of you are wondering, Lord, don't let it be down here. He lives forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
Because of God's promise. The second thing that you can be sure of is the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love of God. As I said earlier, you have to love that one next to you. You have to love me if you're saved. Because the Bible says to. But more important than that, you'll want to. Amen. But the unconditional love of God, he provided our salvation with a great price. What did he say? In Romans chapter 5, he said, God committed his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners.
Amen.
It's hard for us to love somebody we can't get along with, perhaps. He'd say, well, I can't love that wicked, vile person. You don't have to love their sin. You love the sinner, you hate the sin. But no matter what the condition, you learn to love them. Because Jesus said, no matter your condition, I love you. Wow, what was I saying the other night about loving each other? And I said that, we, you know, that word compassion means love in action. My goodness, folks, you can be sure of the love and action that God had for you and I. A love so strong that he told his son, he said, son, I want you to leave the splendor of heaven. And I want you to go down to earth. And I want you to give your life on the cross for all these folks who have sinned. And Jesus said in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's love, isn't it?
Amen.
To die for someone like you and I. An unconditional love. And nothing, as I spoke this morning on the funeral, I took the text from Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall principality, shall power, shall life or death or anything else separate us? He said, nay, none of those shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You may feel as you go through life, nobody loves you. I tell our church all this a lot of times because Jeanette taught me a song. And it says, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Going down the garden to eat worms. That's a cool song, isn't it? But we feel that way sometimes. People feel that no one cares. And I love the song that says there's no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. You can count on the promise. You can be sure of everlasting life. You can be sure of the unconditional love of God, that whosoever comes to him, he says, I will no wise cast out. I will save you. Man, that's love, isn't it? That's love. And then the third thing. Boy, you're going to get done in a hurry tonight. Maybe. Well, I've got 7 more points to go. The third thing I think that we can be sure of tonight is the finished work of Christ on the cross. The finished work of Christ on the cross. Aren't you glad this song says, and I even said it last night, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." He didn't say we had to have amazing grace plus something else. Mm-mm. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I believe with all my heart that when a person gets saved, he ought to want to work for Christ. He needs to work for Christ, but your works did not save you.
Right.
The work of Jesus did.
Amen. Amen.
That's what saved you. "It is finished," he said there in John chapter 19. "It is finished," as he's hanging there on the cross. If God's plan has been fulfilled, knowing our only hope would be for a supreme sacrifice of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You can be sure that's the only way of salvation. You can be sure that the Bible says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." So you can be sure of that tonight, that Jesus took care of that plan of salvation. His part is to give. Our part is to receive. Think about that. Wow. You can be sure that there's no other way for salvation. You can be sure that no matter how many churches in Greenock County, Boyd County, or all over Kentucky, that you have your name on the church book on. You can be sure that that didn't save you. You can be sure that every Sunday morning or Sunday night, when you put your 10% or 15% or 20%, you see, you're getting out of hand now, preacher. In that offering time. You can be sure that didn't save you.
That's right.
You can be sure because you dress up and you come to church all the time. You can be sure that didn't save you.
That's right.
But what saves you is the finished work at Calvary.
That's right. That's right.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I might get round up, we might have revival the rest of the week.
That's right.
But nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you can be sure of that, of the finished work at Calvary. We just celebrated Easter. And so often people will say, well, you know, it's a good celebration because, you know, we're celebrating the day that Jesus came forth from the grave. Let me tell you something. Because it's finished work at Calvary, we can celebrate that every day.
Amen.
Because Jesus is alive.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. You can be sure he's alive. The fourth thing that you can be sure of, Romans chapter 8. You can be sure of the fact that of the witness of God's Spirit to your heart. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is real, aren't you?
Amen.
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are some folks who don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit because they say, "Oh, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. We don't want to get carried away with the Holy Spirit." Well, I do.
Amen.
Don't you? I tell a church a lot of times, sometimes people go to church and say, "Lord, we want to stir your spirit." No, we don't. We want his spirit to stir our spirit.
That's right.
To stir our spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, It talks about how that we know that we are saved. And he says that, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Wow, I have a birth certificate somewhere at home that tells me that I, regardless of what my brothers and sisters say, I was not adopted into the ministry. But I have a birth certificate that proves that on February the 19th, I was born. 1951, and born into the Melvin family. I have proof of that. And you know what I could do? I could change my name. I could change everything about me. But my birth certificate still says that I'm a product of Dink and Lottie Melvin. I want you to know something. I'm glad tonight that when I know that I'm saved, because the Holy Spirit from time to time just tugs at that heartstring and says, I will remind you who you belong to.
That's right.
Who you belong to, I'm glad I belong to him, aren't you? And I'm sure of that today, of his witness, because he says that, and not only just me, but us together tonight, he said, we are glorified together because of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Sometimes I just get beside myself. I really do, but you know why? I don't even want to apologize for that. Because Jesus is real.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is real in my life, and he's real in your life. And he gives us that assurance, that promise. And God says, I will never fail on a promise. The promise that you have of eternal life, the promise of the unconditional love of God, the promise that the finished work at Calvary has been taken care of. That's it. There's no other way. And that promise of the witness of God's Spirit. People will say a lot of times, you know, I've been saved, but I've never really felt the Holy Spirit in my life. They better check their relationship. They better check that experience, because I got news for you. The Holy Spirit draws you to him.
That's right.
Amen.
And when you get saved, he moves in. He moves in. And I tell you, when he moves in, he moves in. And he'll let you know that you belong to him.
That's right.
You belong to him. I was thinking, I received a call yesterday from a friend of ours, Joe Beagley, who used to teach at school. And she'd been trying awful hard to get my granddaughter, Miranda, to go to Marshall University. And but so every now and then she'd call, and she gave us tickets once before about a performance they were doing. And she knows that Miranda is in drama and all these things. So she called and said, hey, Tom, I've got tickets to the final performance at Marshall. Are you and Miranda and your wife and all this stuff? Said, I want you to go. And I said, well, when is she? She said, well, this weekend. I said, well, I'm sorry, Job. I said, but I said, Miranda is performing in Barnum this weekend, as she did last week. She said, oh, really? She said, where is that? And I said, well, and I told her where it was. And she said, well, you know what? And I said, it's a very good performance. She said, well, I want you to know this. She said, if Miranda's in it, and her parents and her grandparents have anything to do with it, it's bound to be good. My head swelled. And I don't have a thing to do with it. I just go and watch and listen. She said, it has to be good. And I get to thinking about that. The Holy Spirit has anything to do with your life, it's got to be good.
Amen.
It's got to be good. So he says, I give you that promise. Something that you can be sure of. That the Holy Spirit is real. And the great thing about the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is this. I think that, you know, when you look at parents and they were bragging, the young man was bragging on his mother today. And you get to looking at parents and how that they correct us. And I said many times that when we are young and parents tend to correct us in a manner that we just don't like, because sometimes it do hurt. And so we don't think parents care for us. And the only thing that they are doing is they are correcting us and saying this, in a sense, you've got to realize you belong to me. And you've got to realize you need to be obedient to me. Because I'm doing this for your good. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's the same way, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm glad that we that are saved tonight, when we get out of line, I'm glad for the presence of the Holy Spirit that reminds us, you belong to God.
Right.
You belong to me, and I'm going to correct you. Mm-hmm. If you're here tonight and you said, man, since I've been saved, whatever I've done, the Holy Spirit's never convicted me again. You need to hit the altar somewhere.
That's right.
Because you haven't been saved. I can guarantee you that. But you can rest assured the witness of the Holy Spirit in our life is real. So tonight, I want to ask you this question. Do you know for sure that you have everlasting life? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure that the presence of the Holy Spirit is real in your life? You see, as we read the scripture tonight, he said that you may know that you have everlasting life. I would hate to go through this life not knowing for sure whether I'm saved or not. I'd hate to lay down at night with the question on my mind, am I really saved? Because you see, there may not be a tomorrow. So you need to be able to say, yes, I know that I am. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus done.
Amen.
And I believe him. I believe him. I trust him. I'm trusting him. And the great thing about having everlasting life, there's a lot of things in this life that you know, we say, well, I like to have this, or I like to have that, and like to purchase this and purchase that. But you need to understand, we cannot purchase salvation. We cannot purchase everlasting life. But look what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10. And verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, he didn't say, maybe you'll get saved. He said, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's a promise, isn't it? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. But get this. For whosoever, there it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. That's right.
Now I understand and realize it's more than just saying, say the Lord. Understand that. There's got to be repentance that goes along.
Right.
It really does. Oh, and I'm sorry for my... Sometimes people get sorry, but they're sorry they get caught in their sin. But Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And I need to be saved. I love the old song. Why don't you just wish I knew all these songs I was talking about? Just sing them. No, you don't. I scared them to death today at the funeral, because I went to the funeral home and asked the funeral director, I need a hymn book. Have you got a hymn book? Do you know what I'm saying? And I said, no. But I need the words. But there's a song that says, when I've gone the last mile away. Now that songwriter's got it down, because he said, I know where I'm going when I've gone the last mile away. But you know what? There are people today who sang the song, I've gone as far as I can. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. You turn to Jesus, don't you? You go to him. So tonight, if you're not sure of salvation, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, and there's a lot of good church members who are not sure. And that's sad. But saved people know. So now, while every head is bowed, if you would please, you ask yourself that question. Can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? Can I be sure that I have everlasting life? Can I be sure that God's promised me that? Can I be sure that he loves me unconditionally? Wow. Yeah, you can. Can I be sure that Christ done it all for me at Calvary? Can I be sure that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and leads me and guides me? Yes, you can. Because Jesus said you could. And he's asking you now, just trust me. Just believe me. Just receive me. Just rely on me. Confess your sins. Repent of those sins. Turn from yourself and turn to Jesus. Tonight he'll save me. And you can leave here being sure that you're going to heaven. Father, tonight I praise you and I thank you for this privilege tonight you've allowed me to stand and proclaim your word. And God, if I have said anything on my own that would hurt anyone, through not just this night, but throughout this week, let it fall at their feet. But God, I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, that lives have been changed, hearts have been touched. Not by what I've said, but by what you do. I pray for those tonight that don't have the assurance of the salvation, don't have the assurance of heaven. But I pray that they come to you tonight. That they leave here knowing they're saved and knowing they have eternal life. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We trust you to continue guiding and leading.
Church for his faithfulness to be in this week. And I want to thank thank Brother Tom for being here with us. And don't forget, tonight, if you can, please.